prayers are giving. They all tie into stewardship, and that's where we're at. We're looking at non-traditional stewardship passages. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 24, starting with the 13th verse. I don't know how many of you thought of Joshua as your stewardship passage, right? Then wasn't the first one that jumped out at you? Okay. That's why I'm calling this non-traditional. But let's look here. Chapter 24 of Joshua, starting with verse 13, and it says, "So I gave you a land on which you did not toil, and the cities you did not build, and you live in them and eat from the vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the god of the Amorites, whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God Himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed great signs before our eyes. He protected us in our entire journey and among all the nations through which we have traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in this land. We too will serve the Lord because He is our God." Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is holy. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you." But the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Joshua said, "You are witnesses against yourself. You have chosen to serve the Lord." "Yes, we are witnesses," they replied. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." Let's pray. Father, we come before You this day and we seek to serve You. We seek to know You. We seek to worship You. Lord, we ask that You would reveal Yourself to us in Your Word, and that, Lord, that as I come and preach this morning, that You would use me to speak Your truth in such a manner that each person here would be drawn closer to You because of it, that each one would know You just a little bit better. Lord, might no one here not feel as if they had heard from You this day. Lord, I pray You would use me for this. Lord, we pray that You would be lifted up and glorified this day, and that all Your people here would be encouraged and blessed. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as I said, we are doing non-traditional stewardship passages. Mike, if you want to go with our first slide. I actually got you a PowerPoint today. No fancy pictures, no big graphics, just a little point-by-point thing here. It's non-traditional stewardship passages. And people are kind of wondering, well, what was that about? Well, the first week, if you want to go to the next slide, we had doing all required of God. Where did we go for that? We went to basically the Christmas story, the birth of Jesus. And we saw that after Jesus was born and it was time for His dedication, Mary and Joseph took Him to the temple to be dedicated and to give the offerings and sacrifices that were required by the law of God to do. So those things which are required by God, even Mary and Joseph did. The next week, next slide. Week two. We covered the price of stewardship. Now, here we went to the story of Balaam, this prophet who was asked by a king to go and curse God's people as they're wandering the wilderness. They're coming too close to his kingdom, and he's afraid that they're going to cause problems because everybody who comes against them fails. Why? Because God's fighting for them. Balaam has offered many riches to curse these people. But being a true steward, he can only do that which God told him to do. And because of that, he was not able to reap those earthly rewards. Now, there were eternal rewards that were saved for him because of it. And we also saw that it was revealed to him through his interaction with the angel and the donkey that if he had gone against God, that God would have brought judgment on him. So there is a price, both to stewardship, a price to being a poor steward, and a price to being a steward who just doesn't follow God at all. But here on this earth, there's that price that doing things God's way doesn't always pan out for earthly riches. Okay, our third week, next slide. We looked at stewardship in the life of the church. Stewardship is the life of the church. We saw it was in the city of Antioch that the stewardship was based upon doing God's will again, and God blessed what they were doing and used it to add to their number, used it to increase the people who follow him. And it was there in Antioch that the church first became known as Christians, followers of Christ. So being good stewards, we see, can lead to us being called Christians. Good stewardship leads to that. Fourth week, this week, next slide. Choose who you will serve. We have this passage that we're looking at today, where Joshua says, "For me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But before he does that, he asks them the question, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers or the gods from this land." You know, choose. Who are you going to serve? So let's take a look at what has to say here. Next slide. What we see is that as the people came to Jerusalem, or to the promised land, it was delivered to them. They had cities to live in. They had vineyards to harvest from. Orchards. Fields that had been prepared and even planted. Houses to live in that they didn't build. God provided everything for them. Now we look today and we say, well, you know, I built my house. Or at least I bought it with my money. This is just a very outward showing and direct showing that all that we have comes from God's hand. What we have comes from God. All that the people of Israel had, it came from God. All we have, it comes from God. Somebody wants to argue that one with me, I'll sit down with you all day with it. But there isn't anything that we can do that isn't because of God. What we have came from His hand. Recognizing that what we have has come from Him. And we also need to understand that He's not just giving it to us, He's telling us to use it in a certain way. He's given us our lives for a purpose. Next slide. Joshua said that he is going to serve the Lord. My house will serve the Lord. He sees that as his purpose. And he challenges the people of Israel. What is your purpose? Is it to serve God or is it to serve other gods? Whether it be the God of self, the God of fathers across the river, the God of the people who used to live here, the God of appetite, whatever. You say, I don't want to serve anybody. I'm just going to serve me. That's really not an option, people. We either we serve God or we don't serve God. Those are the two categories. We serve God or we serve the prince of this world. That's it. Either or scenario. Joshua's asking them, and I'm asking you, who are you going to serve? My house is going to serve the Lord. Next slide. That's not it. Oops. Okay, well, I don't know why the whole program, all the slides didn't... There were supposed to be 12 slides, but apparently they didn't all make it. Why, I have no clue. Okay. Sorry, you'll just have to trust me on the rest of them. But next is serving appears 13 times. The word either serve, served, or serving appears 13 times in this short passage. 13 times. That should tell you what exactly this passage is about. It's about serving, who you will serve. What does serve mean? Does it mean do what you want to do? Or do what somebody, the one who you're serving wants? Serving is not putting your own desires first. It's putting somebody else's needs, desires first, ahead of yourself. If you're a waiter, you are serving people in a restaurant. You're not sitting down to eat a meal yourself. Your task is to take their order and take it to the kitchen, make sure that the food is prepared and bring it back and that the people have what they like and that it tastes good. And if it doesn't taste good, you're supposed to take it back to the kitchen and have them fix it or get them something different because you're serving them. Now, this is asking, who will you serve? Whose desires, whose needs, who are you going to put to be first and foremost in your life? That's the question. It's for me in my house this day, I will serve the Lord. This is asking us, who are you going to serve? Again, because it's either or. Either you're serving God or you're not serving. I knew it was on there. Who are you going to serve? Next slide. To serve God... back one. Okay. To serve God is not to serve other gods. First. If I'm serving God, that means I cannot serve others. God wants an exclusive contract. Okay? You're going to serve just me. It's not like in a restaurant where the waitstaff who serves multiple tables. This is more like the personal butler type thing, which I've never personally experienced, but I would love to sometime. But God wants us to serve only Him. Above all else. Above everything else, we put Him first. So nobody else supplants God's position. That's important. Nobody else can take that number one slot. Not that I can't serve my wife or serve the church or serve my family, but I can serve no other gods. Nothing can be higher positioned in my life than God. That's it. We need to serve Him. We cannot serve other gods. Next slide. To serve God is not to rebel. What's rebel? It's a sin. It's to go contrary to God's will. If I know God wants me to do this, and I don't do it, that's rebellion. God tells us to do a number of things. Love one another. Worship together. Pray. To give offerings and sacrifices. To help others in need. To visit the poor. To pray for the sick. These are the things that God tells us to do. And if our response to His instruction is, I'm busy, or I don't want to, that's rebellion. Rebellion is doing anything other than God's will. God doesn't really like it when I watch that kind of TV show or that movie, but I'm going to watch it anyway because I want to. Rebellion. I'm going to go to that website and view that material. I know it's not what God wants, but I'm going to do it anyways. Rebellion. I know God says to give 10%, but I don't want to. I think that's too much. I'm going to give 3. I think that's good enough. That's rebellion. To serve God is to not be a rebel. This isn't the romantic rebel. The rebel with a cause. You know, I'm going to free people from tyranny. God is not tyranny. God is the source of all good things that we have. Remember that? That's where we started from. Every good thing you got, where'd you get it? God. He's the one who's provided us with salvation. Can you think of a better gift? Is there anything better that you could possibly receive than forgiveness of your sins and eternal being with God for all of eternity? Seriously? There's nothing better. That restored of that, the restoration of that broken relationship is possible only because of the love of God. So to serve Him is not to rebel. Next slide. To serve God is to obey Him. So all those things I talked about not doing, those are things that we are supposed to do. If I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do what it is that He tells me to do. I get that voice that I know is God saying, Bruce, you need to pray for this person. Right now, I don't want to pray now. I want to go watch TV. I want to go read a book. I want to take a nap. And God says, I want you to pray. For me to obey is to do God's will. That's how I serve God. If I do God's will, then I am serving God. If I'm doing those things what God tells me to do, to visit the sick, to pray for those who are sick. If I am praying for all of you, if I'm praying for my enemies. I'm not supposed to seek revenge against them. I'm not supposed to leave that for God. I'm supposed to pray for those who I have issues with. And in particular, I'm supposed to be praying God's blessing on them. These are the things that God tells us to do. And to serve God is to obey Him, to do that which He has told us to do. People, that's stewardship. Recognizing that He is the one in charge, and I am to do what it is He tells me to do, and to do it. To care for things, not according to my will and my purposes, but according to His will and His purposes. To obey Him. Not just to the letter of the law, but to the intent. Could you wash the dishes, please? Now, if the dishes are washed, but not rinsed and dried and put away, do you think the letter was followed, but not the intent? If I say, please, could you wash the dishes, please? My intent is to say, could you wash the dishes, rinse them, dry them, and put them away? If I ask somebody to pray for me, I'm asking that they would take some time and pray. Not say, I'll pray for you. Pray for Bruce. That's not what I'm asking for. And that's not what God wants. We need to follow the intent of God's desire. Not look for loopholes. Looking for loopholes for God's will? That's not being a good steward. Obeying, not just to the letter, but to the desire of it. Doing what it is that God would have us to do. Next slide. We want to serve the Lord our God and obey Him. This is how they end. The people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord our God and obey Him." Now Joshua had been very clear in telling them that there's consequences. There's a cost. You say you're going to follow God and you don't do it, there will be issues. He will discipline you. They said, nope. We know that God is the source of all the good things that we have. He is our source of blessing. He is indeed our God, and we want to serve Him. This is what they have committed to. And they say, we will serve the Lord. Are you committing to this? Will you serve the Lord? See, this is where the lordship of Christ comes in. Oftentimes when we talk of salvation, we talk of, have you been saved? Have you come to know Jesus as your Savior? Sometimes we say Lord and Savior, but we forget all about the lordship part. Stewardship is all about the lordship of Christ in our lives. And this is what Joshua was bringing up to the people of Israel. They were already God's chosen people. He did special things for them. He's done special things for you. What did He do? Well, He died on the cross for you. Can't think of anything more special. He gave you breath. Can't think of things much more special than that. He's the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. It wasn't a big bang. God wants us to serve Him. We need to serve our Lord, our God, and obey Him. That's the lordship part. It's two sides of the same coin. Salvation and lordship go together. In order for Jesus to be my Savior, He also has to be my Lord. Maybe you've heard the phrase, He's Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. Here Joshua is asking the people who's they're going to serve, and the people have responded, we will serve the Lord our God and obey Him. That tells us how it is we serve God. We serve God by obeying His will and doing what it is He has instructed us to do. Yes, there will be a cost to doing what it is that God has told us to do on this earthly world. But eternally, there is an eternal reward that far outweigh it. And the blessings are much, much, much greater. So, I ask you this day, who will you serve? And hopefully you will all respond, we will serve the Lord, our God, and obey Him. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this day and we give You praise. We thank You that You indeed are Lord and that You are our God. Lord, help us indeed to obey You this day and every day. Lord, not to the letter of the law, but to the fullness of Your desire, that we might do Your will. Lord, that we would be good stewards of what You have put in our hands. Not by doing what we desire or what will benefit us individually, but by doing what is best for You and Your purposes. Lord, might we indeed serve You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we close, and we'll be singing...